Tom and Amge did yesterday, and what Rico Dowdle also did, really goes to show once again how running backs that are not starters in week one sometimes become league winners. They are the kind of difference makers to help fantasy managers propel themselves to the playoffs and on into the championship if these guys keep it up. Last week, week eight, seven of the top 15 running backs in terms of fantasy points scored were backups to start the season. Seven out of 15. These guys are fairly easy to find in most leagues. I'm in a very deep league, 14-team league. Mononge was drafted with 184th overall pick. Because in my league, not just backups, but sometimes third stringers are also drafted, running backs, because you never know. The interesting thing about Mononge is that we don't, he could be another Jacory Crosby-Merritt, seventh round pick, rookie. Certainly looks the part, but who knows if he can keep it up? Who knows if playing the Bengals is the kind of thing that makes mediocre talents look amazing? And no offense to fans of Mononge, he might be far better than a mediocre talent as far as NFL standards go. He might be great. Dowdle's certainly proven to be somewhat defense-proof. That Dowdle is averaging about 6.3 yards per carry in the last five games against some soft defenses and against some tougher defenses. So, he's earned it. Just like he looked solid last year. He's looking even better this year. Mononge, one start, incredible. And next week, he faces an even easier run defense. The Bengals going into this past week gave up the third most yards per carry, their defense did. And next week, the Giants going into this week, I only have those numbers, but the Giants had given up the most rushing yards per carry. So, talk about two fantastic ways to start your NFL career as a starter, assuming that DeAndre Swift remains out. But my question is, why don't more people, if you drafted Swift, take Mononge? Why didn't more people who drafted Chuba Hubbard take Rico Dowdle? This is my standard. If I take a starting running back, I'm taking the backup. I'm reaching early if needed. If I don't get them because someone poaches me, I am offering more than what that player is worth to try to get them. Because, and in my case, I've shared this before on the podcast, I have Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Those are my two starters. I went heavy in other positions. Did not go heavy at running back, but I did in the sense that in the first and fourth round, I got those two guys. Fourth round and towards the end of the fourth round, I got Montgomery around his ADP. I think his overall ADP is about 58. I got him, I think, with the 60th pick. I felt lucky, and I was bracing for someone else getting him and then me needing to try to trade for him. The reason is obvious. If Gibbs gets hurt, Montgomery presumably becomes a top 12 running back in that offense. Presumably, maybe he's top 16, but he's a must start. So if you're paying a late fourth round pick, 22nd, 23rd, 24th running back off the board, and you're getting at some point a must-start running back who's valued much higher, then you can understand why it's essential to reach a little bit early for those guys. I think the standard policy for any manager who is really looking to win a title, to build a roster that is somewhat injury proof, and that's impossible to do. I realize that as I'm saying it, but as much as possible injury proof, that if you have two starters and there are two backups, you can sit back and relax at least more than most of your opponents. You don't have to worry that one injury to a starting running back is going to upend your chances. That's really what it's all about. With wide receivers, can't really do it much. Quarterbacks, can't really, although I've mentioned I drafted two quarterbacks and I still have two. I have Lamar Jackson, and instead of Patrick Mahomes, I have Jackson Dart. Got rid of Mahomes, got Dart, got T. Higgins. It's worked out so far. I felt like I knew what I was doing. I knew it was also a risk. It's worked out so far. But if Lamar Jackson gets hurt again, I've got Jackson Dart. I've I've got a guy who can get me 18 plus points, you know, most weeks. That's all you can ask for. With running backs, the stakes are even higher because the drop off is so severe. And when you're facing your opponents in the playoffs, in many instances, they will be pretty stacked, right? At most positions, including at running back. And in fact, I would argue that if you are weak at running back, it is probably because they are stronger at running back. You might look at some of the guys in your, some of the managers in your league, some of them probably have four or five starting running backs on their roster. Maybe a couple of them do. I know there's at least one in my league that has four roughly top 14 running backs. I mean, they're just stacked at running back. Didn't want to trade any of them. I tried. I tried to get one. Couldn't get one. More power to them. They're ready for the playoffs. They're ready. They know that one or two of their running backs could get hurt, and they're still going to be fine. Most of us don't have that luxury. So the way we counter that is to say, well, we can't acquire four starting running backs in a draft. That's too heavy for us. You know, maybe we pick up someone off waivers that becomes a starter and we get lucky and that works out. But we need to also look at the other managers' rosters and figure out if we don't have the handcuff for our running back, what do we give? And my approach with that, by the way, and it hasn't happened for a few years because I make sure, again, that I draft the handcuffs, but back when I didn't, where I wasn't as successful at it, I would ask them and say, you know, what do you want? And if they came back and asked for something big, I would politely decline. But a lot of times it started a negotiation. So if it was a backup who was worthless to them, basically a lottery ticket to them, but not a hedge, that's the big difference. To someone who doesn't have the starter, it's just a lottery ticket. For me, it's a hedge. So I'm willing to pay somewhere between a lottery ticket price and a hedge price. A lottery ticket price is almost worthless. You know, it's someone you just pick up off waivers sometimes, and you just, if the starter goes down, you're in, but you know, you got about a 4%, 8% chance of that happening. The hedge is something entirely different. When you're paying for a hedge, you're giving up pretty good value because the hedge assumes that there is some significant probability that you would be completely wiped out if that starter goes down. Without that hedge, your chances take a huge hit. So you need the hedge. And somewhere between the hedge price and the lottery ticket price is usually where you can get these guys. But again, when you're drafting, last thing I'll say about it, when you're drafting, when you take that starting running back, you need to know ahead of time, what is the ADP, what's the average draft position of the handcuff? And then based on where that is, you need to be thinking several rounds earlier. Monange was taken, I think it was, what was 184th pick or something like that. His ADP was 256. So the person who drafted him much earlier than his ADP. And that was because the draft was almost over and he looked around and saw that Monange was out there and went for it. Brilliant move. In most cases, you're going to see handcuffs in the, you know, 130 to 180 range, you know, prime handcuffs. And you got to be thinking at 100 whether to take them. You know, David Montgomery is an exception to the rule because he's kind of a pseudo one. He's a 1B essentially who can co-start, co-lead with Jahmyr Gibbs if Gibbs is having an off game, like we saw yesterday. But in most cases, you want to go several rounds early. Don't get cute with it. Don't think that you can just get that, you know, next top 36 to 40 wide receiver and wait on the handcuff. Just get the handcuff because, again, the hedge is more valuable to you than a streaming starter at another position. I'm BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners. Follow me on the blog, email me anytime. See you tomorrow.